I was part of a group of people, not part of Bethel Church, not identifying themselves as a Christian community at all. And we were chatting and talking. Several of the questions that we asked each other and the way that the conversation went to about our mothers and our moms. And having been blessed by what I consider to be a most excellent mother, my poor mom, she's in Europe on vacation with my dad. So I can't actually spend Mother's Day with her, but I bless her anyway. My memories of being my mother's son are happy ones. I thought that all moms were like that. When I went to my friends' houses when I was a kid and I saw their moms in action, they kind of were like my mom, you know, good women, loving, attentive, taking good care of us all. But at this particular gathering that I was at, I was shocked by how many sad and terrible stories people told when the subject of mothers came up. Not all mothers, I learned, deserve to be put on a pedestal, and some have been absolutely, you know, terrible to their children. Now, of course, no mom is perfect, and as I lionize my own mother here, let me tell you that she had some things, because she is human, she is fallen, and yeah, that's much like all of us, of course. Now, motherhood and all the things that means, and of course, the concept of motherhood extends to the blessings of all those who provide that nurturing and guiding care, the qualities that are in tune with the Creator who has given us the gift of motherhood. What I learn and what I've discovered in my life and in the times as I've read Scripture and tried to pay attention to what it reveals to us about God Himself, that the qualities of an excellent mother are qualities that are found first of all and best in God Himself. If we want to know what mothering means, if we want to know how mothers should function in families and in the lives of their children or in society or in the world, we should first look to God. And He is, in that respect, I'm not talking heresy, I'm not being a flaming liberal when I say this, God is the perfect mother. I think that it was a great choice in the book, The Shack. I bet you some of us, probably many of us, have read that book. I thought it was an inspired choice for the author of that book. When he tried to portray God the Father, he portrayed her as a black woman named Papa. Made people think. Now we're going to be reading together and considering many biblical passages that help us to see this maternal dimension of God the Father and understand a little bit better what that means. Let's read some scripture.
Psalm 17, 6-9. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who have saved by your right hand those who take refuge in you from your foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. From Psalm 57:1. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Psalm 91:3 and 4. Surely the Lord will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing.
In these texts that Kara read for us, the psalmist looks to nature and perceives there a great truth about God. Where does he look to understand God? He looks at chickens. The psalmist and Jesus himself look at mother hens. And when they perceive a threat to their brood, mother hens signal their chicks to come close and to get under her wings. The little chick running around footloose and fancy free, like little chicks tend to be, are unaware that they are easy pickings for the threats that are around them. Dogs and cats and foxes and hawks and snakes and all kinds of things can be a threat to a little chick. But a full-grown hen, they'll be cautious about approaching something that big, something that knows how to use its beak and its claws to fend off and defend its little ones. The mother hen is for the chicks a perfect refuge. That is what our God, our divine parent, does to mother us. We find refuge under the wings of God. And that is why we want ourselves as the community of faith to know the Scripture well and know our God the Father well, so that we can understand not only the threats that are against us, but the place of protection and consolation that is our God. That when we are feeling threatened and when we know ourselves to be in peril, that we go to that one refuge that is dependable and sure, and that is our God. Jesus, our Lord, shows himself truly to be the Son of God when he echoes his Father's longing to provide refuge for the people of Jerusalem. Sadly, we know by history that many in Jerusalem were not willing to find their peace and refuge with God. But let us understand that we are the chicks of God, and he is our source of blessing and protection. Let's read some more.
From Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 and 11. In a desert land, the Lord found him, the people of God, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft.
That text is from Deuteronomy. And those of us that have studied that part of the Bible know that Deuteronomy is really a series of sermons or messages that were prepared by Moses and delivered to the people of God after they had spent these 40 years in the wilderness, after they had been freed from the enslavement under the Egyptians and were now ready to receive the gift that God had prepared, a land and home of their own. Moses knew the wilderness well, having led the Israelites for 40 years, and for 40 years before that, living himself in the wilderness, being a shepherd, trying to find any bits of grass that he could. He had seen eagles in the wilderness that had their nests high up on the cliffs. And he had seen how mother eagles would nudge their eaglets out of the nest and take to flight. Now these eaglets, they don't come already prepared for this great challenge. They plummet. And apparently, that the mother eagle kicks the young one out of its nest, it starts to fall, and as it is not finding its wings, not figuring out how to do this with the ground coming up, the mother eagle will fly underneath and catch the eaglet on her back and return it to the nest for another go-round. That's quite a mother, I gotta say. And God, the text says, is that kind of a mother for us. He knows what we need to be capable of. He knows what is required for us to live and function as not just people, but citizens of his kingdom. And he pushes us beyond our comfort zones, yet is ever there to keep us from being utterly destroyed in the process. Now, mothers imitate God when they are like this, knowing what we need to be able to do, encouraging, even pushing us to grow into that which we should be for the kingdom, and yet being there for us when we don't measure up the first, second, third, or tenth time. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, in chapter 10, he says, how will people know the truth unless someone is there to preach the gospel to them? And preachers, of course, love that text and quote it every chance they get. But how will we know how to live and function in a good and godly way unless someone mothers us? Moms, you have a great responsibility, a role in our lives that we cannot overemphasize the importance of. Thank you for pushing us, but thank you also for being there for us when we need you. It is a good and godly thing. Let's hear the next reading.
Isaiah 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands.
The previous text we read showed examples of great mothering from the animal kingdom. chickens and eagles. These texts turn to the human examples of maternal care, of people who are just like us. We've all seen kids who have fallen and skinned their knees. I think actually we've all been children who have fallen and skinned our knees. And for those of us who are parents, we have seen our children in that predicament. And you know what? And this is just from my own experience. Moms take the cake for comforting a kid with skinned knees. My mom would carefully brush off the dirt from my knee. She would get a cloth and gently wipe it. She'd even like kiss it, which probably not very hygienic, I don't know. But she said, now it's all better. And I say, oh, thanks, Mom. You know what dads do? Well, they say, oh, shake it off, champ. You'll be fine. Well, not very comforting. No kisses. Anyway, but my dad was an affectionate guy. I'm not putting him down at all. But moms were the champions of comfort. There is a bond between mother and child that is deep and powerful and reflective of God's relationship with us, we who are His children. Which is why it is so tragic and terrible and sad when you see or hear of examples of motherly relationships with her children that are super dysfunctional, where there are abusive relationships between mother and children, or where there is a lack of care or concern, where love doesn't seem to be present. It happens, and it is awful to see, and so unnatural somehow. But in our need, and in our woundedness, in our fears, in our confusion, in our questioning, God, who is our divine parent, as it were, gets down on his knees in the blood and the dirt and the corruption, and he wipes away the grime, wipes away our tears, and he holds us in his embrace. He tells us and assures us that it is going to be all right. God will not forget us. Sometimes we do things, and it's our liturgical custom, and it's a good thing to together to confess our sins and acknowledge our own brokenness before God. But never should we say, because we come acknowledging our brokenness, now we must worry that God is going to write us off, write us out of his will, as it were, or say, you're not welcome in my house anymore. You're too broken, you're too disobedient, you're too much of a disappointment for me. God does not ever say that. He says, you are my child, and I will get down on my knees with you and help lift you up. I will restore you, and I will love you. God cannot forget us. He will not stop loving us. It says that we are tattooed onto the very hand of God, and that God can't do anything without seeing your name, your face, right there. And he will never forsake those who are tattooed onto his hands. That is how much your God loves and cares for you. The gospel. Kara, read some more, please.
Isaiah 42, verse 14. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. Hosea 13, verse 8. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart.
I know a woman who loves her children deeply and feels very much that it is her calling to protect her children from attack and to promote them as good people. And I'll tell you, this lady is absolutely ferocious in speaking up for them and coming to their defense. She said to me once, I'm a mama bear, and don't get between me and my kids, and don't you dare hurt them. You know what? I admire that. I admire her passion and her love. She loves her kids, and her children are ever before her. I admire her because she is imitating God in his ferocious love for his children, for us. What does it mean for you that your God is a mama bear, ferociously loving you, ferociously coming to your defense, and never letting you be destroyed? What does it mean for us that God says that he is like a woman in labor, that he cries out for us, that he is filled with passion for we who are the children of God? I have seen Joanne give birth to our children. And I have seen what it means for a woman to go through childbirth. It is not for the faint of heart, obviously. Say, you're not kidding, right? You ladies that have actually experienced that. And as powerful as that moment is, that's just an echo of the passion of God that he has for you. What does it mean that he is this mama bear ferociously defending us? What does it mean that we are the people who elicit such a powerful emotion in God that it is like he is a woman going through childbirth itself? What it should mean is that we have hope. That we know what joy in God is. That we understand a little bit better what faith means. It is so important for us to understand and comprehend that God, our Father, mothers us. That he encourages us all to receive good mothering, to be people who exhibit that mothering example, people who return that glory to God as our creator and guide for all of our living. So thank you to those who mother and nurture us. Thank you for protecting us, for guiding us, for consoling us, for healing us, for advocating for us. Even more, thanks be to God for creating all of these virtues that good mothers contain. And thanks be to God for demonstrating and personifying, living out those very virtues in our lives as we are together the children of God. Thanks be to God for His provision, His revelation, and for every blessing we receive. Amen.